If I wore this hat, what kind of a job do you think I had? A construction worker. Excellent. You think it would help your head?
Or like a carpenter.
Carpenter. And if my name was Henry and I wore this hat, what would you think?
Then you'll be a biker.
I'd be on a bike. You would know who I was by what I had on my head. Maybe. How about this? Baseball? A big mistake. My money went there, all I got was a hat. That was a child's joke. Sometimes you can tell what somebody's profession is by their hat, or their occupation, or their happiness, right? Well, today we are going to read about a man named Jesus who says you should know they are Christians by the hat they wear. Do you think that's what Scripture says? Look up John 13, if you please. John 13. Things were getting close to the end of the life of Christ, and they went to dinner. Now, have you ever been to dinner? Anyone ever had a dinner? Oh, I think some of you probably have ate before. Some of you have ate a lot before and are looking forward to dinner today. Well, I went to a dinner once, and when I got to the house, the head of the house came and shook my hand. And his wife did too. And that was very nice. And then their children came and kissed my hand because they were children. That was a little different. And then the servants came. And they kissed my feet. Ooh, I didn't know what to do about that. Then the slaves came. And they put their face in the dirt and raised my foot and put it on the top of their head. Well, that was a lot different. It's probably like that in your house, I'm sure. But you see, when the Jews got together to eat, they didn't have a table like we have. They would all lay down on the carpet, usually on your left arm so you could reach things with your right arm, and you would hold a little plate under your chin, kind of like a saucer, so you didn't have crumbs all over the place. Is that a little different than in your house? You reach with your right, and, you know, we would call that SOS, stretch or starve. And we would grab food off the little table. And our kids learn that way a little bit, too, but they probably don't remember any of it by now. But we would do that. A lot of places in the Middle East still do that today. One time I went to a place, and all the men sat up at one place and ate. When we got done, we put our plates on the floor for our women. That was really different. And children then eat after the women, if there's anything left. Far different than the way we do it today. But you see, in John chapter 13, Jesus invites the disciples to come and have dinner with them. As they gathered around, all reclining, there's a hierarchy. If you're closest to the door, in some cultures, that means you're less important. And if you're farther from the door, you've come deeper into the room. You've come into a place of prominence. So people that come in the door can see you. See how important you are. We don't do that either, do we? In Turkish homes, they spray you lavishly with a thing called lemon cologne. It smells really strong. And you put it on your hands. You know, that was before COVID. I don't know what they do now. But they would have your fragrances so that if children or other people come in the house, they would smell that cologne and say, we've got important people here. And they'd come by and say, welcome to our home. At least children would. Didn't have to kiss my hand, but often they did. That was really sloppy. In biblical times, they knew when they reclined what position they were in. And one of them had the position of the servant. It's kind of like a game that you used to play with a card game called Old Maid, and nobody wanted the Old Maid. Matter of fact, you would even complain about the Old Maid. Oh, I didn't get it. You got it. But the boys, I'm going to refer to the 12 as that, wiggled their seats so they wouldn't be in the wrong seat, the wrong place to recline. Why? Because they needed to have someone to wash the feet. Now, I don't know if you've ever had your feet washed. Well, I try to do it in the shower occasionally, you know. I even got a brush so I can get underneath it. You know, when you get to a certain age, they're way down there. I'm telling you. And it's not as easy as it used to be. But you don't want to miss them either. Don't want everyone else to say, you know that push washing thing? You should try it. And so all the disciples from John right on down to Peter did what they could not to be in the wrong place. And then the Lord stands up, takes off his formal coat. I don't know how far this goes, but Scripture says he took it off and wrapped himself with a towel. Everyone knew what that meant. He took the position of a slave. The servant. The master, and poured water in a basin. And he went to the men that called him master and bent down and washed their feet. I had a friend of mine that taught he was a master, headmaster at a Bible school. And he decided, Turkish friend, to have a Bible school outside the city of Ephesus. Have you heard of that? Ephesus having a Bible school? Well, if you read Acts, you maybe have. And he was at a conference where I was in England, and I said, let's go for a walk after lunch and we can chat. I've really missed seeing you. And he told me, he says, I can't.
Can't go after lunch. I said, why not? You're the speaker at the conference. I mean, I was kind of embarrassed. He says, I've got to do the dishes. I says, hello? I says, Camille, what do you mean you have to do the dishes? He says, I do at the Bible school every day. When the students come and eat, he says, that's the only way I can wash their feet. I said, but you're the head of the Bible school. Yeah, and I'm the guy that does the dishes. I says, all right, I'll help. But I'm not very good at it. He says, you're not. But you need to be. You want to be a leader? Wash feet. He said, well, Lord, I don't really want to be a leader. Wash feet anyway. The Lord said that. You want to be the greatest? Take the position of the least. Remember what he did when the fellows were discussing this point? He took a child and placed him in the middle. You want to be like anybody? Be a child. And serve and help others. I wish John 13 wasn't there. I mean, I would love some intellectual, theological stuff. This burns me. This burns me where I'm at. How can I wash your feet? How could I be a servant to you? I'm trying to learn your names. I'm doing really bad. I can't even figure out what family's what. I know you've got 8 or 12 in the family, and each family has either 14 or 70, you know, and some are great cooks. I haven't found a bad one yet. And some of you ladies do it for your mom when she's not there, did a fine job. I enjoyed it anyway. If I cooked, we would have EMS out here. Yeah, and that wouldn't be as because they were coming to visit me. And my wife knows that, so she won't let me in the kitchen. Now, we haven't been married that long, you know, we're not even 50 years yet. We're close, 48 or so. She told me on our honeymoon, says, I don't want you in the kitchen. And I says, why? I want to help you cook. She says, I want to cook. So, okay. And we've changed countries. In case you don't know, we did mission work for 30 years. We changed countries for most of that time, sometimes as much as every 6 months. And every place had different foods. And every place she learned it. I mean, she can do an Indonesian chicken soup. That's what I'm calling it because it's easier than saying in Indonesian. That's just fantastic. And there's many Turkish dishes that I only see at that event. Find somebody that can cook, guys, if you can't do it yourself. Important things in life. And Jesus says, you'll know we are Christians because of our love one for another. What's love look like? I got two buckets of it right back at the back room. I will spread it out liberally when you get ready. No, that won't be happening. But it's what Christ asks us to do. Love one another. As said, the Lord said, if you have two coats and you see a person with only one or without any, do you share your coat? I know people that do that or have done that. I know people in this meeting that do that. And they rejoice in doing it. They say, well, what do you mean? Some of you have invited others into your home. Just to have friendship with them. And fellowship. And care. And basically, they're listening for the words, how can I pray for you? Well, what is prayer? Talking to the Father on someone else's benefit. It could be just talking to the Father. But for somebody else's benefit. I pray that God might expand your understanding of Him. I was just recanting when I was a teenage boy. School was really rough. I barely got out of school. Being from Detroit and my last name Dolinsky, I had a D average through school. I mean, that's what you're supposed to have, isn't it? I know some of you people have A names. Good for you. And then I went in the military. I was 17. I never knew anything about the military except it would be good for me. Or at least I was told it would be good for me. And so off I went. And I went to a thing called boot camp between my sophomore and senior year in high school. You know when you usually just lay around at the beach and get a suntan? I was laying around in my boots and getting the sun all over me and starting the morning at 5 o'clock, and we went for a little walk, well, about a 15-mile run. Before breakfast, I thought they'd give me breakfast in bed at least. You know, I'm 17. They didn't. We ran, and then we came back, and we moved the earth. Have you ever moved the earth? It's called a push-up. You push the earth 100 times, and the earth would just move. I'm sure that's what was happening. And I did a sit-up or two, or 100. All before breakfast. I thought, these guys are crazy. And then I went to class, but I had to stay awake. A lot of that went on. If you nodded, the eraser the instructor had was a projectile. And you would feel it flutter up to your head. So I went back to finish my senior year in high school. I knew what discipline was. I even knew a little bit about studying. And I went from a D to a B minus. I wouldn't want to tell you I was an A student. I had a lot of baggage. And at last, I was learning to study. I was a youngish Christian. I didn't have any disciples apart from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now I know that's enough. But I was a young fellow, and I had to know something. So I started learning. I read it through a couple of times. course, I have to read using a number one index finger so I don't lose place. Now, if you're a slow reader, don't worry about it. That's better than being a no reader. If you're a fast reader, I applaud you. Too much is given, much would be expected back. We were learning a new way of life. And it was during a war time, of course. I think America's always been in and out of a war. And so I went off to Vietnam, didn't make it. But I worked on aircraft, and that was a lot of fun, if you ever worked on an aircraft. You know, when you rev the engine of your car, how it sounds real neat? Just imagine when you crank up a jet engine. I mean, the flames come shooting out 10 foot off the stern. It just looks really neat. But the purpose of that was to learn to study. And after that, I said, well, I know all Christians have to go to Bible school. So off I went. You don't know it, many of you, but there used to be a Bible school in Detroit called Detroit Bible College. It was in a rough part of town, and you often got beat up going to class. You know, and it was just incredible. They moved out. They moved their theology. And then everybody else left him. But I went to Bible college because I wanted to know about God. The first year, I was a straight A student. Let's hear a little applause. Thank you very much. Second year, I was an A student. Thank you very much. The third year, well, the second year, halfway through it, I'm pulling into Bible school. I had a, some of you will know nothing about this line of sport car, but I had a Triumph Spitfire. And it was little. I know it was just a four-cylinder, but it had four on the floor, two seats. I took my wife-to-be out in it, and she said, my mother's not going to like this. I said, your mother's not in the car. But so much for humor. And I thought that you needed to be seen when you pulled into the parking lot. So I put an Ooga horn in it. Ooga, Ooga. You know, European police. Yes, I was completely seen. One day going to class, I was praying, saying, Lord, if I got to keep this average, I'm doing really good. You know the Lord talks to you? I guess he texts nowadays, but in those days, you actually heard things. And the Lord said to me, you know a lot about me, but you don't know me. What book was I reading about? A guy named Moses. The bush burned. Wasn't consumed. And I said, but I know you. I'm a Christian. I've given testimony. I've preached in the open air. We've seen people saved. He says, but you don't know me. You know what I had? I had what's called props. These are props. If I had a walking stick, it would be a prop. It would hold me up. I had skill. I'm in America. Of course, I'm an American. I'm really arrogant. It's part of my life. And I said to myself, what do you mean, Lord? He says, I want you to go on this mission trip to Turkey. You'll know no Turkish. They'll know no English.
I want you to share the gospel. And I said, but Lord. So off I went in the prime of my happiness. And the Lord says, I will meet you. I'll give you opportunity to witness. And he did. Now, I wasn't very clever in my Turkish, but I started learning. And I started learning little by little. But I started learning who the Lord was. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? We miss the importance of knowing him by having our props taken away, being humbled to a point where we wash somebody else's feet. I was with six guys, different times, and we were passing out literature. And we were in a country that was hostile towards Christianity. It wasn't illegal what we were doing. Just don't do it. And then these fellas come by and they had an Ugel horn on their car too. And they encouraged us by putting manacles on us to ride with them. And so in the car we went, and we went down to the police department, and the first cop was all upset by the fact that we were passing out Christian tracts. I could tell he was upset. I didn't understand the words, but his screaming, yelling, and shouting kind of led me that way. So he decided to go to the first fellow on the bench, pound him in the face. I was glad I was number two. Then he got to me. And he worked his way down the bench and back. And you know what? I said to myself, I said, Lord, I've come a long way to share the gospel. And all I'm doing is getting beat up. I said, this isn't right. It's nice to tell the Lord what it is, right? You know, and we like telling the coach how to play the game. And somehow the Lord broke my heart. And I thought, Lord, I've come a long way to share the gospel. I hope this honors you. Well, I hope it did. That happened many times. I'm a little slow learner, I guess, how to share the gospel. But that happened a lot. Yeah, and I stand before you as one that's come through it. And I had to say, Lord, I'm going to have to trust you in this. You see, trusting me was pretty clever when I was in the States. Trusting him is what we had to do. Lord, what will it take to make you glorified? And if this is it, I want to be here. I think there's some difficulties ahead of us as believers. Scripture tells us that. Be ready. Honor him and say, Lord, if this is what it takes to honor you, I want to be there. I want to catch the first and the last swing. I had a friend, big guy. I know some big guys here, but he was really big. And I'm going to call him Larry. He had freckles everywhere and red hair. Nobody in the Middle East has red hair and freckles. And there was a little guy, smaller than me, Georg Grietman. And Georg was German, and Larry and Georg were out passing out literature. And they got incarcerated. But the people that we were at were all short. So they came to Georg and whacked on him. He's a little guy. I could take him. But that guy, other guy, no. And Larry noticed that. And Larry stepped up between the two of them and said, "Take me." And leave Georg alone. Is that washing the feet, brothers? Take me, not him. And you know what they did about the big guy? They tied his feet to a board and lifted it up like this. And they used a truncheon, another stick, and beat the soles of his feet until he blacked out. He put himself forward for another brother. Cost him a lot. I should think Larry walked very gingerly for weeks. But he wanted to see people know Jesus. So the next day he was brought into the magistrate's office and he says, "They beat me for no cause." And the magistrate says, "Yeah, you were beat for no cause. Get out of here." He says, "I want my literature back. Give me the tracts back that you took from me." So Georg and Larry went down the street passing out the word of God to people. Because he was bold enough to say, "Lord, use me." Well, I want to draw your attention in closing to verse 35:13. "By this, all men will know you are disciples, if you love one another." Well, if you go out today, go by the bucket and pick up two handfuls of love. And use it. And use it. Hardest thing in the world is to love one another. You say, "Well, I don't like those kind of things." Well, maybe the Lord won't give you those kind of things. Some can bake a pie and take it over to somebody else's house. Some could change a tire for some other brother. Or teach them how to do it. There's a lot we can do to show love. It's your responsibility to figure out what God wants you to be doing. And do it. You shouldn't follow in my footsteps. They're old and dusty and they go back a long way. Because that was the road God brought me on. What road will he bring you on? Any questions before I pray? Father God, we are grateful for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who took the role of a slave and said to his disciples, "Follow me." He washed their feet and then laid himself down for us. And then challenges us to love others as you have loved them. We're ever so thankful for Christ that loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.